Let's move on to our next passage, which is 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 22. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for the sixth Sunday of Easter, which is May the 14th. Cherith, would you read it for us, please?
Sure. Who will harm you if you're zealous for good? But happy are you, even if you suffer because of righteousness. Don't be terrified or upset by them. Instead, regard Christ the Lord as holy in your hearts. Whenever anyone asks you to speak of your hope, be ready to defend it. Yet do this with respectful humility, maintaining a good conscience. Act in this way so that those who malign your good lifestyle in Christ may be ashamed when they slander you. It is better to suffer for doing good, if this could possibly be God's will, than for doing evil. Christ himself suffered on account of sins, once for all, the righteous one on behalf of the unrighteous. He did this in order to bring you into the presence of God. Christ was put to death as a human, but made alive by the Spirit. And it was by the Spirit that he went to preach to the spirits in prison. In the past, these spirits were disobedient. When God patiently waited during the time of Noah, Noah built an ark in which a few, that is, eight, lives were rescued through water. Baptism is like that. It saves you now, not because it removes dirt from your body, but because it is the mark of a good conscience toward God. Your salvation comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at God's right side. Now that he has gone into heaven, he rules over all angels, authorities, and powers.
Thank God for the rule and reign of Christ. Cherith, I personally believe there is good suffering and bad suffering. And all of it is kind of how we see pain, I think. But good suffering, from my perspective, is our participation with Christ. You've touched on this, and his suffering by embodying who he is. Mm-hmm. But bad suffering is being the consequence of hurting others and ourselves. Yeah. And it seems to me we're doing a lot of bad suffering these days. What would you have to say?
I think that's really true. It's probably always been true. But I think that our bad suffering is so often tied to wanting a different storyline and getting enticed into believing that there is a way to consider a Christian storyline that just falls in line with the ways that we have sort of flatlined a few biblical texts and feel like now we've sort of mastered scripture and now we mastered how Christ works among us. And if somebody disagrees with us, then they just need to get more saved and more in line with our position. And suddenly we end up defending things and weaponizing even the way of Christ as we perceive it, and then can't figure out why we're constantly paying a price.
Preach.
Because actually, there's like the powers of this world over which Jesus just said, like, at the Father's right hand, I'm over it all. And you have a choice to participate in the powers, just like I did in my temptation and every day from the wilderness forward, to play the games of the world and try to put a God stamp on them and see if you can get broken power to work for you. Or you can actually let the suffering that is a world that even finds those things appealing because they can relieve something temporarily or give you an identity that makes you feel like more of a human than someone else, whatever that is. These are the things that God is putting to death. And the reason he's doing it is because they will kill you. Yeah. They are killing you. So it's his joy to kill them so they can stop killing you. But the more you hold on to them and try to make them work for him and him to work for them, you will suffer. And so will those around you, because you cannot but do harm when you're actually looking for a way to secure yourself or to alleviate your fears or to find a position that you feel like secures you against all the deepest fears that you've never even seen or named, or whatever the world tells you is the better spot to be in. And so just come over here and be part of our club, and then we get the bennies and everybody else is wrong. Like, all of that is so contrary to Jesus, but it's all the stuff that people dug up to, is who were leaders at the time, to try to get him to shut up, right? Or to, mm-hmm. to play by their rules. And we kill a God that looks like Jesus in the face of these kinds of things. And so in the kindness of Jesus, I think like in one of our other texts, he's sort of like, I'm putting this to death, right? Like he says this to me, like, it's my joy to put these things to death so that they stop killing you, right? And you can actually live in the life of the Spirit, the truth of who you are in me, instead of these, well, fake truths, as we've come to know that term, mm-hmm. Warren, that seem to work for you better or rescue you out of suffering or whatever it is that is in the moment, but that actually in the end will not just kill you, but those who you love, and especially those who you don't care about because you don't even see them.
Whew. There's a lot to unpack there. And what I'm struck by, and I'm looking at verse 16, we need to approach suffering, other suffering. When we speak of the hope within, we do it with humility, right? Mm. That it just requires such humility. But thanks be to God that his final word to suffering is resurrection, mm-hmm. and it's ours in the here and now. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter wrote that salvation is a result of Jesus Christ's resurrection, mm-hmm. but also wrote baptism saves us now. So help me, help us understand the dynamic nature of God's salvation that this pericope seems to point to.
Yeah, so it's never baptism. Well, I'll qualify that. There's always mystery, right? And so I don't want to repeat the mystery, because the mystery is always just Jesus. Like, salvation is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. Resurrection is Jesus. Ethics is Jesus. Like, it's mm-hmm. all God with us, showing us both God and our true selves. And so I think when we hear the language of baptism, both in Peter and in Paul, it's a beautiful metaphor for our dying with Jesus, right? That already to become children of the resurrection, to become those who wait for the hope of the redemption of our bodies, for those who are sitting literally with him at the right hand of the Father in terms of authority and humility, right? With him, it's like all of those realities come through him. And so baptism is the language of both like the taking off and the cleansing and the dying to all the other powers and stories and internal narratives and external narratives that become sort of a wedding of a national identity and a Christian identity or any identity with a Christian identity, right? Like whether it was the Jews plus Christ, like Paul's just like encountering those kinds of things too. But to say anytime you add something to Jesus, then you better get down in the waters of baptism again, because this is where he just washes this away. And when you come up, it's always to come up again into the life of a resurrected Lord who says, now I can empower you to live your baptism. You are going to live your baptism every single moment of every single day if your baptism truly represents your dying and rising life as a child of God, as an heir of God, as a co-heir with me. This dying and rising is going to be just the way of your life all the time. And so I think when he uses that metaphor, it's not to think of the dunking or the sprinkling per se. It's to say, this sign reminds me all the time that there's a world that wants me to live into something else. And God loves this world. And the only way he can love it with and through me is if I die to the world's own understanding and sense of itself and live into the love of God for this world in the way that God would love this world and will through us.
One of the things I appreciate about you, Cherith, is your high Christology, that all of this points to Jesus and what is already true. It's like Karl Barth said, the gospel does not indicate possibilities, but declares actualities. And so as we are baptized and as we live baptism, like you said, we're just reflecting on the truth that Jesus was baptized for us to fulfill all righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah.